Dr. Rachel Matthews is an author and academic, and in her own writing and creative writing teaching, she dissects the use of humour, particularly dark comedy. Well, we're going to talk about all types of humour this morning. So give us a ring, 1-300-800-222. What things do you find funny now that you used to not find funny? 1-300-800-222. Very good morning, Dr. Rachel Matthews.
Good morning, Pav. Thank you for having me.
No worries. Thanks for joining us. Knock-knock jokes. Do you still find them funny?
I was just laughing at your jokes because I hadn't heard a knock-knock joke for a long time, and it was good to hear it. I was getting a bit sentimental.
Where did they go, Rachel?
Where did they go? I think it's like the Christmas cracker jokes, you know. We kind of roll our eyes, but we kind of love them at the same time, don't we?
Yeah, there's a bit of a love-hate thing going, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I got some funny ones, but it is interesting, isn't it, how we can go through these phases of joke telling,
yeah.
You know, group them all together, because there was all the bad taste jokes, which I'm sure you had a bit of a look at. There's the knock-knock jokes. It's strange how some things are funny 20 years ago, but they're not sort of funny anymore. Why does this happen?
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I've been reading a bit about some of the trends, like, you know, the dad jokes, you know, sort of global phenomenon. And that apparently has a really positive impact in relationships. So there's research about dad jokes being a way for people to connect. So, you know, if you have the kids or the relatives kind of rolling their eyes and groaning, there's kind of an affection in that. So a lot of people have, you know, done some research about that to sort of understand why it is that, you know, that people love that. And I think there's something, like the knock-knock jokes, I think there's something really kind of simple and accessible about them. You know, they're everyday, and they're also about someone kind of being a bit vulnerable, you know, and being willing to kind of play along with them, being a bit foolish, or you know, I'm playing on words, or I've mispronounced my word, or yeah.
Now, look, there are some things that are universally funny and have been funny, I would have thought, since the day that they started being used. You know, I can't help but think, but I've got to go. I've got to go to farts, I'm afraid.
It's all right. I'm okay.
Well, there is something about that sound that makes people laugh, you know.
Well, the first thing I just thought of, Pav, was whoopee cushions.
Oh, yes. The first thing I thought of was Leslie Nielsen, who was a master of just sitting there keeping a straight face, and these fart noises would come out, and everyone around him's just cracking up, and he's just dearly in the middle of not budging.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I remember, you know, my brother and I using whoopee cushions on, you know, when we had babysitters, like terrible monsters we were. And it wouldn't matter how often someone sat on it. It was just funny every time. I think it's a bit kind of a slapstick kind of humour, isn't it, that we all love. And, I suppose one thing that I'm a little bit worried about is how humour's being used in social media now.
Yeah, look, we'll talk about that in a second. 1-300-800-222, the changing shape of humour. What are the things that make you laugh? Give us a ring, 1-300-800-222. Are there universal things that just make you laugh? 1-300-800-222. Give us a call. We'll let you be the judge. I'm getting a lot of knock-knock jokes in here, as you can imagine, Rachel.
Oh, that's good. Can you share them?
Well, I need to read them first, because otherwise I'm going to get in all sorts of trouble here.
Okay.
Let's have a chat to Leonie first in Cavendish. G'day, Leonie.
G'day. A couple of things. First one is that my mother in my teenage years always used to say, now, darling, when you leave school, you can either become a politician or a barrister. For some reason, she never said diplomat. And the other one is that... slightly inappropriate sense of humour here. I worked out the one thing you could never say to cannibals. Thank you for having me. Went into our local KFC a few months ago, cracked up laughing. The staff were looking at me somewhat behind the counter. So I told them the joke. They laughed. Then I pointed to their sign, finger licking good.
Oh, you're bad, Leonie.
Yeah. I love it.
Yes. There's a bit of wickedness in amongst that lot, I think. Right? It's good when people write their own. Actually, Mick's put a thing up here. His son, who's 8 years old, wrote his own joke. Here you go. How did the hammerhead shark go on his math test? He nailed it.
Oh.
There you go, right?
I love it. These are great.
Good, aren't they? An 8-year old came up with that one, so pretty
good. Yeah.
Knock, knock. This is for you, Rach. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. I am awake. Sorry. Who's there?
I can't remember how it goes, but Interrupting Cow. Have you heard that one?
Oh, yes. And it keeps going.
Yes. Thank you, David.
I love it.
Basil has called. G'day, Baz.
Good day, Michael. A little while back, I gave a presentation on artificial intelligence to U3A in Castlemaine.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the presentation, it was based on ChatGPT. I asked ChatGPT for some jokes, and most of them were pretty lame, but I thought the best of the bad lot was, why did the man take a ladder to a party? Because he heard the drinks were on the house.
There you go. That sounds like a chat GPT joke to me, Basil. So, that's keen. And that was the best of them, was it?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Yes, gosh.
The rest were pretty lame.
They do. I mean, thank you, Basil. There have been studies done on this. They reckon, AI, it's one thing it just can't do is write comedy. Anyway. Hello, I've still got to filter my way through these jokes here. Knock, knock.
Who's that?
Dishes.
Dishes who?
This is Sean Connery.
Do the accent.
I tried. hello, sorry, this is descending, Rachel, into a knock knock joke session.
We will get a little bit
academic about it in a sec.
Hey, No, this is good.
Yeah, it's okay with you, all right. Hello, Matt.
Yeah, g'day, Pav. I was just recounting that when I was a teenager, we had this book called Spike Milligan Book of Records.
Yeah.
And one of the cartoons in it is a simple, really hastily drawing of a tap with a bit of a drip coming out. At the top, it says, "A joke by Spike Milligan." And then at the bottom, under the tap, it just says, "You turn me on, baby." And I found that so – I used to roll around the floor laughing at that. And what was funny about it was that he was just saying, look, I am so lazy that I just couldn't be bothered writing anything like a joke. So he just did that, and that's what was funny about it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I mean, he was a master of that sort of thing, Spike Milligan, a very, very funny man. But that sort of deadpan thing, it's almost like comedy turning in on itself, right?
Yeah, it's actually I had a Spike Milligan book called Fluffy Bum the Cat.
Oh, yeah.
And the and the drawing at the front, well, it was the back of the cat, we'll say, up close. And, I saw that documentary about him the other night, and, what was really sad was someone said to him, how did comedy impact on your life? And he said, it made me miserable.
Oh.
And I thought that was just so terribly sad because he gave people so much joy, didn't he?
He did. Look, I saw him once live, Spike Milligan, and I'll never forget it. It was just amazing.
Wow.
Incredible stuff.
Yeah, I'm so jealous.
Yeah, look, I couldn't believe it. I sort of got dragged along there and I was pretty young. Couldn't believe this guy could make me laugh for 2 hours without any props, without any script. He just stood there.
Yeah.
The whole place was in stitches. Amazing.
Genius. Yeah.
How is it? Why are there people who are funny and people who aren't funny?
Yes. Yeah, why is that?
You're the academic, aren't you? Don't you know?
Well, I think there's still just – I think there's some people that just have a really natural gift. You know, like my parents and my brother are just very funny people, very dry. My dad loves New York Jewish humour, and I just love listening to him tell a joke because it's such an art, isn't it?
It is a real art form, and you're right. Some people are just naturally funny. I mean, I've got friends like that as well. You just sort of can listen to them, and it's not even jokes. It's just the sort of one-liners that they come out with and different things.
Hmm. And there's also, you know, and you have to be patient with the person who always forgets the punchline.
Yeah, that's me. It's all about the timing, isn't it, Rach?
Isn't it? It's excruciating, especially if it's been a really long joke.
Oh, yeah. And
you know?
If you're preempting it, going, I've got a joke. Oh, I can't quite remember how it works. Even before you get to the punchline.
Right. Yeah, that's right. It's all over.
Yes. Oh, dear. Don has called from Dubbo. G'day, Don.
Oh, good morning. I've got a knock-knock joke for you.
Oh, great. Okay. What do you got?
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Amos.
Amos who?
Amos Gita.
Ah, okay.
Another
two in the same vein.
Yep.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Anne.
Anne who?
Another mosquito.
Okay.
Last bit, knock-knock.
Who's there?
Thermos.
What was it? Thermos?
Thermos.
Thermos who?
The mosquitoes are bad tonight.
Thank you, Don. All right. Well, that's almost a crossover knock-knock dad joke going on there, Rachel.
It is. I know. That's really skilled, Don.
Nice
really
work,
skilled.
Don. Thank you.
I thought I'd mess it up.
Well done, too. Yes, if I hadn't been telling that, I would have butchered it totally.
Yeah, it was very clever.
Yes, okay. There's a lot of unclean jokes that are coming in, Rachel. So,
nobody will know. Just read one.
No. I won't be doing that.
I know.
And it's making it hard to read the other ones because I can't start reading any of them without thinking this is not going to end well.
Oh, you're still recovering from that.
I am a little bit.
Oh, dear. God, it's a bit cheeky, isn't it?
What are you going to do, eh? I've got here as well. Why did the koala fall out of the tree? Well, no.
Why?
I won't.
Is it rude?
Well, it's just not funny, I didn't think. Hello, Dermot. Okay. It's a deadpan one.
A couple of deadpan ones. What did Winnie the Pooh and Alexander the Great have in common?
What did they have in common, Dermot?
Their middle names.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
and,
that's good.
What could you do if you had a rubber trumpet?
What?
Join a rubber band.
See, now I would put them as reasonable quality jokes, Dermot. Thank you.
I do too. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
No worries. They're good. Yeah, a little bit of surprise element in there is a good thing to have in a bit of humour, a bit of a joke.
Yeah. Bit obscure. Yeah. It's good.
Look, kids, are they telling jokes anymore? Because I asked my daughter this the other day and she's going, no, not really. They're certainly not telling knock-knock jokes. Is the art of joke telling dying or in danger of dying because of things like social media?
Yeah, well, I think it's something that really worries me too, Pav, because children tell jokes beautifully. You know, they have this, there's a lot of joy and a lot of play in their joke telling. But what concerns me a bit is that there's so much humour that's being used on the social pages to sell stuff. You know, so, you know, there's sort of memes and puns and sarcasm and slapstick that's it's very seductive. It sort of draws people in, and when you use humour, you're feeling good. That's when you buy the product. So it sort of worries me that that's very different to what we've been enjoying now, which is just the old fashioned art of that.
Yeah, I'm with you. Look, they do say one of the early... I mean, I've looked up this a little bit. And did you know it goes back to Shakespeare, the knock-knock joke?
I did not know that.
Yeah, there you go. So, and it wasn't sort of popularised till around 1900, but one of the first ones was actually in an ad, and the ad in 1936, it said, knock-knock, who's there? Rufus. Rufus who? Rufus, the most important part of your house. Hey.
Okay.
And it was an ad for roofing, so there you go.
So there you go. Yeah, that's where it started. Yeah. I've also noticed in my classrooms at uni that a lot of the younger people are often quoting from comedies, but they're often American.
Yeah, there's a bit of that going on. Look, we're talking to Rachel Matthews this morning, author and academic, all about humour and how humour's changed. Someone wanted me to make a distinction between humour and jokes to say they're different things. We'll take that up with Dr. Rachel Matthews our guest in just a second. Before we do that, though, we need to check in with the Weather Bureau. Timothy Gresses on duty at the Weather Bureau. G'day, Timothy.
Hi, how you going?
I'm all right, thanks. How about you?
Yeah, pretty good, thank you.
All right. We've been telling jokes on the program this morning.
Oh, yeah?
We've been getting some pretty funny ones. For example, Timothy, what do you call a cow with two legs?
A cow with two legs? I don't know. What's the answer?
Lean beef.
Oh, that's terrible.
Just a bit of a sample, Timothy. You can take that one to your colleagues in the Weather Bureau and tell them it came from us. Like.
I will.
All right, mate. No worries. What's happening today? What can we look forward to with the weather?
Okay, so I'll start off with the warnings today. There is a severe weather warning out for damaging winds for parts of the Snowy Mountain Forecast District in New South Wales, as well as parts of Victoria's central East Gippsland, southwest, north central, northeast, west and southern Gippsland, and Wimmera Forecast Districts. There is also a sheep grazers warning out for Kangaroo Island in South Australia. Now, looking at the conditions right now, there are onshore showers on the western and southern WA coastline, and there is also a trough currently moving through Western Australia that is extending from the Ningaloo coast through to a low in the Bight, bringing widespread showers and rain to those areas. Then moving over to the other side of the country, there is also onshore showers on the Queensland coast, as well as a chance of fog on the ranges in New South Wales and southern Queensland with patchy fog and with patchy frost, and a chance of frost to the east of the ranges. The rest of the country there is mostly clear conditions. Now, looking at the rest of today, the showers in WA will continue for the southwestern coastline, while there will also be a chance of a thunderstorm along the southern coastal districts. And while the trough continues to move to the east and into South Australia, bringing widespread showers and rain with it, we can expect the showers and rain to be impacting Adelaide later on this evening. For the showers over on Queensland's coast, they will generally ease throughout the day, except for the northern tropical coast and tablelands districts. Now, and for the rest of the country, we will continue to see clear skies and sunny conditions. Now, moving on to the capitals. For Sydney, we expect it to be sunny with a max of 21 degrees, while for Melbourne, it'll be windy and mostly sunny with reaching up to 16 degrees. For Brisbane, it'll be mostly sunny, reaching 23 degrees, while for Perth, there will be showers developing, reaching a top of 16 degrees. And for Adelaide, there will be late rain with a top of 20 degrees, while for Hobart, it will be mostly sunny with a top of 17 degrees. For Canberra, there will be morning frost and partly cloudy conditions with a top of 14 degrees, while for Darwin, it will be mostly sunny with a top of 30 degrees today.
Nice work, Tim. Much appreciated, mate.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good on you. There's Tim Gresser there, the National Operations Centre. We are talking all about jokes this morning, about humour as well, about the changing shape of humour, why things used to be funny but they're not so funny anymore, and whether the knock-knock joke is a dying art. Well, just joke-telling in general, whether that's a dying art. Dr. Rachel Matthews is the author and academic we've been speaking to. Rach, you're back with us.
I am. Did I miss any jokes?
No, you didn't. And I tell you what, I've been filtering through and there are some rippers here, so hang on to your seat, Rach, because this could be funny.
I got ready. Here.
A friend of mine got kidnapped by a group of mimes. They did unspeakable things to him.
Love it.
Why do cows wear bells? Because their horns don't work.
Oh. Right.
My husband cooked me a full breakfast yesterday but forgot the toast. I couldn't help it. I went berserk. It turns out I'm lactose intolerant.
Oh, no.
And listen to this. Apparently, Leslie Nielsen has on his gravestone, he simply has his name and the epitaph, "Let her rip." Apparently he was buried with a whoopee cushion.
Is that true?
I don't know.
Is it an urban myth?
I wonder.
We want it to be true, don't we?
John's usually in the know, so I reckon it may well be true there. Look, this is a joke.
Oh, classic
joke told by a 5-year-old to Mika. Says this is when the kid was at uni. He said, "How do you catch a bra? You set a booby trap." Of course, Rach. You should have seen that one coming.
I'm being a bit slow.
Actually, I've got another. Apparently, when Spike Milligan lost his dog, he put an ad in the paper saying, "Here, boy." got to love Spike. Actually, Michael wanted to talk about Spike. G'day, Michael.
Oh, g'day, Pav and Rachel. And I'm rather fortunate that you've lost the eastern state, so I won't embarrass myself in front of my family.
That's handy.
Paper, I can get through this without tickling my throat. You're talking about Spike Milligan, and Rachel was mentioning, you know, the fluffy bum the cat. Well, when Gough Whitlam, Fluffy Gough, was wanting a new national anthem, Spike wrote one. And I've committed it to memory. And would you like to hear it?
Yeah, sure, Michael.
Yes, definitely.
Australia, Australia, we think of you each day. Australia, Australia, at work and at play, we think of you in the morning. Sorry. And in the evening too, we even wake up at midnight so that we can think of you. Australia, there's only two verses. Australia, Australia, we love you from the heart, the kidneys, the liver, and the giblets. And every other part.
Thank you, Michael.
Oh, that was magnificent.
That's so Spike, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah. Look, and yet he was such a troubled man. It's sad, isn't it?
It is sad.
Yeah.
Someone sent through the thing about what he had on his headstone, Spike Milligan. Which was, you know, I told you I was sick, so. Someone wanted to say, look, the kids aren't telling jokes, but memes are the new joke telling. I mean, that is one way they're sharing their sense of humour, isn't it?
Yeah, look, you know, there was an article in The Guardian about, you know, people really being concerned about memes being a replacement for the sort of the art of comedy, you know, because it's such an instant thing. But some people kind of argue that you're still having to be a bit selective and think a bit about what the meme is saying. But I don't know. I just really love to hear that the human telling of a joke, you know, like we are now.
No, sometimes I get shown these memes and I don't find them funny. I don't know what it is. It's an age thing or I don't know.
No, I think it's a particular kind of humour. And, and, you know, it's really interesting that I remember reading about in the city of Pompeii, you know, that they found all these really crude, bawdy jokes in these kind of writings and drawings and visuals, you know, like people kind of being really personal about, you know, someone's wife and how someone looked and, you know. So it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, we're thinking that's thousands of years ago. Has anything changed?
I mean, not so recently they're telling Irish jokes and Polish jokes. I mean, and they just wouldn't sit anymore. I mean, obviously there's that side of it, but there's also the stylistically things change. Look, it was funny. Someone just wanted to point out that last joke we heard, the Spike Milligan tune, Australia, sounded a lot like the Blackadder theme. It did. I agree with you.
It did.
I wonder.
It did.
Mm. I think I need to share some more of those with you here, Rach, because there's some beauty.
Yes, please.
Why don't cannibals eat clowns?
Oh, why?
Because they taste funny.
Oh.
Did you hear about this? Did you hear about the man who first invented the knock knock joke? He won a Nobel Prize.
Oh no! Oh, that's good.
What about this one? A number of recent studies have revealed an alarming increase in the number of recent studies.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's social commentary, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, jokes have a really important job to do, don't they, really?
They do. They're the lubrication that keeps us all smiling quite often. Look,
yeah.
I've got here, agree with Rachel, the complete infiltration of all things American means that the humour gets slapped in the face and avoids the subtlety of British humour. Very sad, says Jules in Paddington.
Yeah.
And Tracy says cultural differences are most interesting, with what makes a Thai laugh is different to what makes a Korean laugh. I prefer American humour to British. There is a bit of that, isn't there? There's a cultural component to this.
Yeah, that's right. And I think it's a shame that I think because we obviously binge watching and so consumed by a lot of American TV, you know, and I've noticed this with my students as well, that, you know, sometimes I'll hear the language change and even with humour and the way they use humour, and I'll sort of say to them, like, you know, why not set this scene or this character in an Australian environment and celebrate and kind of, you know, use the place that you know. And, yes, because I think humour can do that, can't it? It can be a real celebration of the better parts of ourselves as a society as well.
It'd be great to get you on down the track to talk about that, if you're interested, just to talk about
what
makes Australian humour. What is it that's unique about our own humour? Look, I've got here a text. Mix put this up on the screen. Hannah Gadsby won the big award at the Melbourne Comedy Festival for her show Nanette.
Yeah.
But it was comedy. It was a different sort of comedy in a way, wasn't it? It was sort of personalised comedy.
Yeah, there's a vulnerability and a sort of an authenticity that people have loved, and I reckon that's why she's become so popular around the world. And a bit like Tim Minchin and some of those comics who use humour to just sort of open up really difficult conversations, which I think is another important job it has, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, they're talking about some pretty sensitive topics there, and you're right, they do sort of do it almost irreverently with this humour. And it is a great way of bringing this stuff to the surface. And
For sure.
Barry's called in. G'day, Barry.
Morning, Mav. Why does a milking stool only have three legs?
I don't know, Barry, why?
Because the cow's got the udder.
How do you go telling that one over the truck CB, Barry?
Oh, I don't.
I bet you don't. Nice work. Thanks for sharing, mate.
Love it.
See you, mate.
You take care. Drive carefully, will you? Why can't you play Scrabble on a plane? Lou says, because that could spell disaster. Thank you. All right.
Oh, no. That's kind of clever, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. There are a couple of these. Why don't ants get sick? Because they have little antibodies. Thank you, Graham. That's right.
I love it.
Why did the chicken go halfway across the road? Because it wanted to lay it on the line.
Oh.
And this we'll leave this as the last one, okay? A dung beetle walks into a bar, says, "Is this stool taken?" Ba-bum.
Oh, that's great.
Well, there's some beauties here.
It's very clever. I'm in awe of your audience.
Well, me too. I always thought they were pretty funny, but they're certainly outplaying themselves this morning. It's fantastic. And look, we will get you back on, Rach, because
it's
been a really enjoyable conversation. I'd like to find out, you say you're students, so what, you teach comedy or you teach the study of comedy?
I teach fiction writing at RMIT in the writing program there, I use comedy a lot in my novels, so it's something I bring up often in class. So my latest book, Never Look Desperate, is a tragicomedy, and it's got older people trying to sort of fumble through relationships later in life, and I just wanted to use humour to kind of say, you know, we're all the same, we're all vulnerable, and and have a bit of a laugh at ourselves, you know, because I think at the moment things feel a bit grim, and I think more than ever we do need a laugh, and that's why, you know, this segment this morning's been really great. I'm sure it's given people a bit of a lift.
I'm with you, totally. And, you know, look, we need to laugh more, right? So it's good medicine any time of the day.
Yeah.
Hey.
Absolutely. I'll bring my whoopee cushion next time.
That'd be good, okay. If you could, that'd be excellent. Thanks.
Look, we will... I won't tell you. I'll just surprise you.
But we will focus particularly on next time on Australian humour and what it is that makes Australian humour particularly unique. So what do you reckon we talk about that, hey?
And thank you to all your audience. I think they're really clever. And it's great to have a laugh, you know, this time of the morning too.
I'm totally with you, Rach. Hey, have a great day. Say hi to your students for us, okay?
I will. Thanks, Pav. Thank you. Bye.